whatever the fuck, I'd be cool with
that.
Yeah,
that's true. You kind of got to hook the cat up.
Yeah. Like, I because Alex is like, maybe Tigger can buy us a house. I'm thinking, fuck, you're tripping, mate.
Happy days. It's the 19th of June, 2020, and we got double episodes of Brands with Benefits this week, and, you know, why not? You guys have earned it. And but before I go on, I got to tell you about Wordistry again. So if you don't know, Wordistry is a service which will help get you on track with digital marketing and content. If you don't have any idea about that stuff, which is like the common response from everyone, I don't know how to deal with that stuff. But that stuff is super duper important, and even in ways that you might not be sure about. So I recommend sussing them out at www.wordistry.com.au. That's WORDISTRY. If you want to get some more eyes on your product, scope it out. Today's episode is with my friend John Sanders, aka Doug Steele. Now, John is an absolute legend when it comes to rock and metal guitar in Australia, and as well as being involved in myriad projects, he's also got a great following on his YouTube channel, which if you look for Doug Steele Guitarist, it's not just a great library of guitar tutorials, but also it's an awesome document of his just life overall. So if I just want to find out like what John's been up to, then yeah, I'll just go check out his channel because he's a great personality, good follow. And personally, I met John originally when he was putting together a band for a live version of a recording project he did a while ago called Flatstick. I'll make sure that's in the notes so you can go check that one out. Classic album. And years later, I called upon him to join Alarum. Now, if you guys aren't familiar, Alarum is you could call it like a technical metal band, but sort of in the more old school sort of sense. But to me, and once again to many others, they've been a staple of the Australian scene for literally decades now, and in a lot of ways have been front runners. And I had the pleasure of being in that band. Like, and there was, you know, a lot of my, you know, formative touring years were in that band, and I spent a good 9 years with them. We're still great mates, and today they're releasing their fourth album, Circles End, which I think we'll talk about for all of 30 seconds, because otherwise we, you know, discuss the YouTube thing and handling sobriety and how somehow his local neighborhood cat became more famous than him on the internet overnight. I'll let him explain that one. Actually, now I think about it, I actually met John like unofficially when I was getting lessons, when I would have been, oh geez, like maybe like 11 years old. So, and this was like, I was getting lessons over at a place called Main Street Music in Greensboro. And I know it would have been early on because it was just, at the time, it was just this tiny little shop. So I'm just standing there waiting for my lesson. And I've like got a Fear Factory shirt on, just like metalhead in the making. And then just this boisterous American dude walks past me and I just hear, Fear Factory, get the feet down. And I'm like, oh, because, you know, I just, you know, I was just terrified of everything at that point in life. So that was actually my first encounter with him. And I guess the time where I started doing Flatstick was the second time that I actually met him properly. And so, yeah, didn't realize that 10, 12, 13 years later, I would actually be playing with the guy. So yeah, there you go. But yeah, I'm just really glad that I could get John on for a good chat, and also just in time for the release of Alarum's latest album. So here he is, John Sanders, aka Doug Steele. Yeah, sick. But which is good because I'm not drinking at the moment, so.
Neither am I.
Oh, really?
I did relapse for a night, but I'm back on it.
Was it, were you planning to do like a 2020 no alcohol?
No, actually, are we recording?
We're recording, okay, yeah. Cool. I don't do any lead up or anything.
Okay,
we just go.
So no, you know, Maria, my dear friend Maria was diagnosed with stage 4 bowel cancer, and it fucking rocked my world. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to drink, so that if you need me at your house at any time, you can call me and I will be sober and ready to rock.
I remember you posting that. That was sick.
So since then, me and Ben Quirk went to a friend's house, and we did get wrecked.
Yep.
And that was it. Was at Victor's house, yes.
Victor, yep.
Victor.
But the one thing I'm concerned, because we always do the annual thing at Quirky's joint.
Yeah.
And my sobriety period's going to overlap with that gathering.
Right.
That's going to be hard work.
Or
we could just put it off by another month.
No, stay with your sobriety. I don't know. Yeah. I'm finding, actually, when I left for here today, because I'm going to Danger Tone Studios after that, Alex is like, don't drink.
Yep.
Because she knows that Luke can kind of make me want to.
It's a vortex.
Yeah. So I said, I think I got it under control.
With the one when you went to Victor's, was that pre-planned or was it an oh fuck it kind of moment?
I think it was one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a like you hadn't purchased anything.
No.
Yeah, and it was just, but it was there.
It was there and it was sitting there and I was sober for quite a long time.
Was everyone else drinking?
Yes.
And it was just, you know, guitar dudes guitaring.
Yeah.
And you're just like, fuck it. The vibe is just too perfect.
Yep.
Yep. I know that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
But it's I don't know. It's been easy so far. Well, it hasn't been easy.
How long has it been for you? Like months and months?
It's about to be 5 months.
Okay, cool.
Which is like I've done 4 months is the most I've done previously. Yeah. And once I've cleared 5, that will officially be the most I've done. And it was like first 2 months, it's like I wasn't even thinking about it.
Yeah.
And now it's just like, and even though I'm like, oh, I might get to the end of the 12 months and not even, you know, I might not even start again. Whereas like now it's like, I'm very much looking forward to the 12 months being over.
You just did it. Did you just do it to do it?
Well, you know, health. Yeah. Mainly health. Health's a big one. Health, money, and also sort of that feeling of like, you know, like, I guess it's like a control thing as well. I hate that idea of like not of something having, you know, a handle on me, where it's like every time you sort of go to quit, it's like, oh, I'll do it next weekend or next
weekend.
Right,
yeah.
Or just for like a, I don't know, any other time where it's like, I want to take some time off, and it just, you know, you can trick yourself into thinking you're the one making the decision to not stop.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, you know, well, it's
the booze it's not, owns you.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I'm like, I have to do this. Cause I kind of feel like if I at least get a year off, it's like, I also kind of gain a year as well. So
the hangover we had afterward was fucking horrible. Like Ben couldn't get out of bed. Yeah, it was horrible. So.
Also not sure. I don't know 100%, but yeah, I don't know how often Ben in particular gets the chance to do those kind of nights as well.
Right.
Because of family stuff and whatnot. I'm speculating. But I sort of imagine that, like, you know, when he gets the chance to let loose, he will absolutely, like, let fly.
Yeah.
And if you're there as well, then, of course, you're going to get caught up in that tornado as well.
Totally.
And
that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. And that thing of, like, hangovers get worse and worse and worse.
The older you get.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt we were both wrecked, but him not getting out of bed the whole day and me at least walking to McDonald's or something, I did feel kind of like I won.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't a competition, I just felt like I was a little bit stronger, a little bit tougher than Ben.
Yeah, you got to take the victories.
Yeah, where they at?
Where you can?
Where are they at?
How long ago was that?
I'd say about a month ago.
A month ago. So yeah, back. Are you just?
It's when COVID did like the first lift or whatever.
Right.
So you can have a couple people over, whatever the fuck it is. It changes. I don't know what it is anymore. And
your work is still the same. Like
I was an essential worker during the time. I did have 3 weeks off.
Ooh.
What they did is 1 week on, 1 week off, yada yada yada, okay. That kind of thing. So that was actually kind of fun.
Yep.
But I'm actually kind of glad to be back at work.
Yeah.
Even though the job is not good. And
yeah. I feel like we look like we have like similar-ish kind of jobs.
Yeah.
With the kind of that very... So I got friends who have like you know, very well-paying, you know, jobs, you know, doing all kinds of things. And they talk about, you know, considering just going and working at Coles or, you know, or doing, or just basically something like we're doing, which is like, you know, fairly like, well, at least from my end, it's like, it's fairly low responsibility in that when we leave, it's...
It's there. And I definitely don't, do not take it home.
Yeah, no one's calling us or, you know, or, and when we get home, it's just, you're just picking up where you left off kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which is like super alluring. It's like if you can, you know, afford your lifestyle, it's sick.
Totally.
And it's sort of getting, when it's not bad enough to be like, this is the worst, I want to, you know, wanna get away. It's, that's when it gets really, really hard because it's like, well, you know, I'm living pretty good. Like, you know, you're in Hawthorne, beautiful area. And you're still on the no debt train as well?
Yeah, we're actually up. So,
yeah?
Yeah.
That's sick. And you can save and,
yeah,
you know, yeah. So you could do all that stuff. And
yeah, she, Alex is going to be done. I think she finishes in like 4 or 5 weeks.
Oh, wow.
But I think she wants to do further education. But I mean, we've got it down to where we know how to live fairly tight, but not be sad about it, I guess.
Yeah,
like, like we can still go and have fun and go to concerts, you know, and shit like that.
Yeah.
But it is fucking hard.
Yeah. Well, you guys are going out and getting your coffees and
doing. You gotta, you gotta pick and choose what you do.
And you get like a little bit of, and a little bit of YouTube money coming in as well.
Yes, I've been told that I'm only allowed, I have to save it for like a year.
Oh, okay. So you can only, it's bit like super.
Yeah. Which is fine.
Yeah.
It actually works out really well. But so yeah, I'm pretty stoked about that.
Yeah.
Percentage all just goes to guitar gear and shit.
Yeah, fair enough.
Mm.
How do you view the YouTube channel? And like, are you, is that just like a thing you just do in the background, or are you actively pushing it?
I'm not, well, I don't know if I'm actively pushing it. What I've found out is that people just want the Van Halen shit.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm willing to go, you know, down that road all the time. So I don't.
Mm.
I'll do live streams about whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah.
But I try, but I know if I want hits or I want to make money on my YouTube thing, I got to come up with more Van Halen shit.
So, yeah, because I saw that, like, there's a lot on there and it gets, like, a lot of hits. But it's one of those things where it's like, you could treat part of the channel as like, I don't know, like have like a 9-to-5 feel to it where it's like, okay, this one's like a job kind of thing. Where it's like, okay, well, this will give me some space to do
the other shit.
The other stuff.
Yeah. I hate once I put it in my head that music is a job, it makes me not want to fucking do it.
Yeah.
I hate that feeling. So there's that to get over, but I've tried to just break it down into like a dumber vibe, or not a dumber vibe, but something for me to grasp onto, which is if you want to make the money, you do the Van Halen shit.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And you like Van Halen too. You know?
I do like Van Halen. I did say I would never do the Sammy Hagar stuff. And it's looking like I might have to go down that road at some stage. Cause there's only a finite amount of videos you can make on the first 4 Van Halen albums.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly right.
So now I'm actually going back and like doing live solos that he did from whenever. And now I think the newest one I'm going to be working on is, which is Sammy era, is the Live Without a Net solo, which is like, I don't know, 9 minutes or 12 minutes. But I'm not going to do it all in one shot. I'm just going to do a little bit at a time, make it a playlist and fucking have at it. Yeah.
But like, wait, does Eddie do like, does he do note for note solos live?
No,
so you can get some mileage. You can get some mileage out of live solos.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I have.
That's sick.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's, you're always like tweaking those knobs where it's like the job plus music versus only music thing. Where it's like if it's only music, then you got to decide where those compromises are going to be.
Fuck yeah.
And if you got like videos of a guitarist that you like, just sitting in the background generating more income, so you can just do whatever. Yeah. And it, like, if you, what's your setup? I'm very curious. Because I know you've, because I've seen you've, like, bought some, like, bits and pieces.
Okay. I've actually got the camera here.
Let's
look. It's just a, I know I brought the motherfucker in.
Yeah, that's my one there. I did see you bring it, but
You know what? I left it out. I left it out there. Okay. It's like a Canon. I don't know. My brother-in-law's into stuff, so he sells me his hand-me-down shit.
All right.
At a nice price, so yeah. And it's actually like a vlogger's camera, but it looks better than the camera I had before it. The yep. sound is good. So basically, I just run that. I don't do any kind of running through Pro Tools or any of that, because means and because we're living in the place we're living at, that one bedroom flat, it means when Alex goes shopping or something, I have to set everything up, record, take it back down before she gets home.
Mm.
And it's like, you know, if I had my own designated room like this or something, you know, that might change a little bit. But until now I just run it. And I don't like the fact of like, well, we're going to have to do playthroughs for the album coming out, but.
I saw Pulf was doing his.
Yes.
Like, have you got more to do?
They're in the can. Scott's is in the can. Mine's in the can. Pulf's is in the can. We're just waiting to roll them out, I guess, when the album's out or something.
Sick. Which is like, how many days now? Oh, I guess from now?
Next Friday. The 19th of June, yeah. At midnight.
And like, is Dinner for Wolves, that's the Aussie label?
Yes.
Is that Chris Marek?
I think it... It's
or is he just running PR?
I think he does PR for them. Rick Butterworth, who's really tight with Palf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah,
and that's just him. Australia.
I don't know.
You're just like, yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Do I have to do anything?
Right.
No.
Yeah. It's that vibe.
Are you happy with it? The album?
Yeah. I am happy with it. I like the artwork as well. It complements each other. It's a good album.
The artwork is excellent.
Yeah, that's John Hawking.
Yep. Yeah, he smashed it.
Yeah, he did. I'm actually going to buy like shirts and fucking... I'm going to get into it as well. Yeah. Even though you're probably not supposed to being in the band, but the shit looks good, so I'm gonna do it.
Yeah,
I'm going to put a patch on the vest and...
Yeah.
I'll wear that shit out.
Yeah, I don't... Yeah, people... You know what? I think... Because I don't care about self-merching, but right. I think only on stage, though. That's, to me, that's a no-no. Wearing your own shirts on stage.
No,
is
that's
like,
fucking, that's scary. No, yeah. I'd never do that. I wouldn't, I was thinking of doing it like on YouTube or something like that, but I don't even know if I'd wear it around my neighborhood. I don't think I wouldn't go to see other people's gigs and wear it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that shit.
Other people's gigs, yeah. If you got their stuff, yeah, you rock their stuff.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And like, just like going back to the YouTube thing, how many subscribers are you on? It's like at least 15,000.
15,500.
And that's just like, it just accumulated over time.
Yeah. I mean, I've had the things. Fuck, I've had that channel for more than 10 years, I think.
Fuck.
2006?
And is it just like steady?
I don't know if
steady
it's
build?
Steady.
Like, was there?
I'll show you my stats afterward. I don't know how to fucking work that shit. But.
Has it been like a moment where it's just gone like fucking bing?
No, it happened. That's happened for certain videos, like Ola. Right. You know, Ola from I don't know. He's a YouTube guitar guy.
Yeah.
He did something to one of my vids, and it went fucking through the roof.
Oh, okay. So is that England or is
Ola
that...
England? Yeah.
Yeah. Who's he again?
I think he plays for a band in like a Norway called Feared or something like that.
Oh, okay.
And he's just got the mad subs.
Just, yeah, sick following.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there is like some people will just like Stan Bicknell, he's a sick drummer. Like he shared, I think he just like tagged me with me and a couple of other dudes, like check these dudes out. And like that was just Instagram, but that was like, you know, like 200 followers overnight kind of thing.
Yep.
Where it's like, yeah, some people just go, yes, sir. And they'll just like, they'll just follow, which is sick.
Have you know about the cat, right?
Oh, the Dodo article.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
They want footage now too. So they want to make a proper video and shit.
Damn.
Yeah. So he eclipsed my, I think I got like 1500 on Instagram. He doubled that in like 2 days. At 1 minute, it was 300 followers. No, 1 minute it was 30,
yep.
Then 350. And then by the end of that, it was like 2,000. And the very next day, it was 3,000. And now we're sitting on like 3,600 videos. And I'll take two pictures a day and then post one every fucking 12 or 14 hours.
Cat people are absolutely insane.
Mm.
They absolutely. And that was because Yeah, I don't know. I was like, yeah, it's, you know, it's a cute thing. He comes and visits occasionally.
Yeah, but that I didn't think there was a story in it.
Yeah, that was like obviously enough for... I was impressed how... Because I read that article.
Yeah.
And I'm like impressed how they were able to stretch that out into like, you know, cat visits your house to a full-blown...
I think it's because of COVID. I think that's a bit of it. Like it gives hope. It helps people that have lost a cat. Yep. That gives them hope that, you know, and maybe just people who don't have pets that wish they did can be like, oh, fuck, you know, this guy's, they don't have pets, and yet this cat rocks up every day, you know?
Also, just real, because I didn't quite recognize the site at the time, but then I realized that they actually appear in my YouTube feed semi-regularly.
Yeah.
So, and all the videos have like tens upon millions of views on them. So they're, they are a massive, I'm like, oh, wait, that's that page.
Yeah.
They are massive.
Yeah. And I think this Tigger one is the one that is the first one in Australia. I could be wrong. That's just what somebody had told me. So I'm just passing on probably wrong information.
That's sick. What if, this is interesting. I actually thought about this. Like, what if like, say just keeps growing and it gets to a point where you can actually start making some cash off that site, but it's like not your cat.
Well, not only that, the parent, like we know them.
Yep.
Cause we had to meet him through the cat, but they don't know that he's got an Instagram account. So I thought, fuck, we'll send him a card on Christmas Day or whatever and be like, hey, check out my Instagram. You know, send the card to them from the cat.
Yeah.
And
be like,
check out my Instagram.
Yeah. I'm actually cooler than you.
Yeah. And if there's money, you know, involved at some stage, we'd obviously have to go halves.
Yeah.
I think. Like, we might be doing all the fucking social work, all the online social bullshit, but it's their fucking cat.
Yeah.
To me, it makes sense to go halves.
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta be, I guess you gotta be reasonable about it.
Like it ain't work, you know, they own the thing. We're promoting the thing or whatever. People love it. Mm. Even if we got like a nice little bed for the cat or some, like a year of food or whatever the fuck, I'd be cool with that.
That's true. You kind of got to hook the cat up.
Yeah. Cause Alex is like, maybe Tigger can buy us a house. I'm thinking, fuck, you're tripping, mate.
Are you guys trying to save for a house?
No. Because
you guys have a pretty sweet, like a nice deal going with your Hawthorne joint with the rent control and all that.
No, that's not there.
That's
in
gone?
Fact, yeah. And they fucking sent us a rent raise on Christmas Day via text.
Fuck!
And I was furious.
Christmas Day?
Yep.
There are real Scrooges out there. That is some Dickens shit.
I was like, this is like, she's like, oh, it's probably an automated thing. I'm like, well, they need to check that shit because that's fucking bullshit.
And that turned out to be the case.
I don't know. I didn't. But I was ready to text back a really, you know, evil diatribe, but I did not.
Yeah. Right. Is that sort of changed, like, how you guys are going to think about?
No, because we won't leave until Tigger dies or they move.
because we're
like locked in. We think about it, we talk about it, but we're not going to leave until, because Tigger's around like every fucking day.
So your residence is hinging on the cat.
Yeah,
really. The cat is really like, I mean, obviously, like, you know, you're posting him like every day, but you're really like loving.
He's the best. He, like, I didn't know anything about ginger cats before this, but he's just got the raddest vibe. He doesn't scratch. He doesn't do anything stupid. He's really laid back. He loves to be loved, and he's like our cat, but we don't own him.
Yeah.
And you know, we don't have a fucking we don't have a shit box for him or anything. He'll just when he needs to go to the bathroom, he'll just say, "Hey, yo, bathroom time," and then we let him out. And
so
then,
he's done nothing in your house.
Not a thing.
Wow.
The only thing he does is when he is hungry, he'll go to the couch and start clawing on it. And we just said, Tigger. And then from then he'll be like, oh, okay, they're chasing me. So maybe they'll chase me to the kitchen. So he'll just start walking. It's like, okay, we do have water for him and we do have food if it's too late for him to go home and he's dying to eat.
Yeah.
We try not to feed him. I think that was my fuck up.
That's a nice turnout. There is like a stray that hangs around here.
Yeah.
The neighbor feeds him a bit.
Yeah.
And at one point, we were letting him come in the house. Like, first he sort of just came in, looked around, and then he'd sort of fuck off. And then he would actually get on the couch and, like, and actually, like, and just lie down and chill. And we're like,
yeah,
I guess this is cool, you know? Like, you know, just cute, awesome cat. And then at one point, he would just start fucking pissing everywhere.
Oh, no.
And it was just like, yeah. And to the point where, like...
Was it piss or was it that I'm marking shit stuff? Was it on the ground or was it on things?
It was on things.
He's spraying. He's saying this is my territory kind of shit.
Right. Was that different from
smell?
Pee?
Yeah. Does it smell fucking rank?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's it's different from pee, I think.
Right.
It's like a raccoony vibe. It's just like, yeah, that's me. That's him saying, fucking, I live here now.
Yeah. I was wondering if if that was like a different thing, but yeah, he was kind of doing that. And it would be like the point, at first he kind of like low key did it.
Yeah.
And then it would be the point where he would just
he'd
come
look you in the eye
and just, yeah, he would just like run in and it's like, you're done.
Yeah.
You know, you're a victim.
Get the fuck out.
Yeah. Ironically, this has cost you your house.
Yeah.
You know, so, he's not in here anymore.
Yeah. No, Tigger does none of that shit.
Fuck. I know it's probably because, yeah, he's got owners and stuff.
He does have owners. They're cool. We met him. I see him like around the Hawthorne area and say hi and shit like that.
Right. Fuck, that's awesome.
I'll take a photo. I've showed her photos from my phone, but not like his Instagram page. Because yeah. that's obviously a dead giveaway, and I don't want them, you know, getting all weird and shit.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Mm. I was like wondering, with like the YouTube thing, because like you do, because I mean, you know, you do like, you know, your live streams, and you do like sort of bloggy sort of stuff as well. Yeah. And that's just like purely for your own.
Man, I did one today that had three people in it, but I didn't give a fuck. Yeah. And I always go... look, I'll do it for 10 minutes. That never happens. They always go for a half hour to 2 hours. I've done a drunk one. That went up between three and five hours. I don't remember. But
is that one that you like? You pulled it down like straight away.
Yes.
Oh, right.
There was one at Ben's house where we
might have
got
been that one.
Yeah, we got fucking, and then we started calling Joshua Jones, who lives in Georgia, and then we're talking to them. Yeah, and then we did karaoke. So yeah, it got out of control.
Yeah,
I pulled it the very next day.
Did you watch it back, or you just knew it was going to be bad news?
It was going to be bad news.
Yeah,
but if and when I drink again, I'll do it again.
Yeah,
this is fun.
But yeah, like even say by yourself, or even just like those little short ones. Because I actually like seeing like, you know, particularly when friends do it and they just do like a 5-10 minute, like, you know, like I'll be about to leave work and I'll see like you know you've put one up and I'll just put that on for my drive home because it's like, yeah, what's John been up to?
Yeah,
kind of thing.
That's good.
Yeah, is that why like? Do you find it like therapeutic or something like that when you do it?
I think for whatever quote unquote fans or subs I have out there, they just want to know base, like, I guess it's behind the scenes shit. Mm. But it's also kind of for me so that I can look back at this and be like, oh yeah, you know, fuck, 20 years ago I was doing this, or this is what happened on this day. So it's kind of for me when my mind starts to go south when I'm like 70 or 75. Mm. I'll be able to go back and be like, oh yeah, that fucking happened.
It's just like a historical record kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like a photo album, but, you know, the new version.
That's a sick, because like some of them I've looked where you're getting super deep into it, you know, into like what's going on. I'm like, this is an amazing level of honesty, because there's like there's like, you know, because you know some YouTubers, you're like, this feels like bullshit.
Yeah.
Or they just, it's so obviously they're just putting something on for the camera or rah, rah, rah. But like, I'm watching yours, I'm like, this is, you know,
dude,
this is you being you. Like, this is like, I know this for a fact.
Yeah.
And it's like that, you know, not that like I don't bullshit with any of the stuff that I do. Like, I'm pretty open with just about anything. But
yeah.
Like,
dude, there are motherfuckers that cry on their YouTube channel.
Yeah. And it's like, like, it's super intense. Like, I don't judge. Like, I don't know if it's the kind of thing where it's just,
I'm like, I feel like I'll share, but I don't know if I'm gonna fucking cry though. That's some crazy shit.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, are you even thinking about any of that when you're sort of being like, you know, like you've talked about crying like on one of your things?
Yeah, probably.
And like some, you know, and like really personal stuff. Like, do you find that easy to do? It seems
maybe
natural because you're sitting there and you're just like, just
maybe I get, well, yeah, I feel if I, yeah, I must feel comfortable enough to say
do it.
It. Yeah.
Because obviously, you know, just getting stuff off your chest in general is like a, you know, it's a healthy thing to do.
Healthy thing to do, and it's healthy for probably somebody else to watch it and be like, okay, I do the same shit, or I've done the same shit, or I don't feel weird or alone or anything like that. So sharing really is caring.
Yeah. So it's 50-50. Like there is like a demand for it out there versus finding it like fairly therapeutic to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It can't hurt to fucking share.
Yep. And you fucking stoked this album's coming out?
Yes, it's been quite a while. So yeah, very stoked to get that motherfucker out.
Yeah.
Don't know how I would like, obviously, you know, I think everybody and their mom right now wants to go back to gigging. I don't know how long that's going to take.
Yeah, I mean, if they're talking about, I mean, obviously this is different, but you know, they're talking about doing sporting events with like 10,000 people. It's like, why not just open fucking everything?
You just
back up,
put it back to the way it was,
except for the fact that, like, you know, the government does not give a shit about the arts at all,
right?
So there's that side of things. Although, you know, you'd sort of want pubs and stuff open because the government loves taxing alcohol and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
so there's that as well. So I mean, if anything, that will be the thing that gets the pubs and gigs opened again. Although I won't be surprised if they open the pubs, but no gigs.
Right.
I won't be surprised if they pull that, but that's, you know,
yeah,
I'm speculating again.
But yeah, that would suck. People need to see live bands, and the musicians need to play to fucking people. End of story.
Are you enjoying the time off though?
Yep.
Like gigs, love it. Everything? The gig side of things, I mean.
No. If I had a choice, I'd just be on tour for the rest of my life.
That's true. I mean, hang on. What was the last show you played?
We supported Lord at this Prog Fest, not a Prog Festival, but it was like a Prog thing or a Lord thing, or it was at the Hi-Fi or whatever it's called, Max Watts.
Oh, that was
the night before I saw Black Dahlia Murder. Black Dahlia Murder at the same place. That was the last pre-COVID gig I was at, was Ginger.
I'm thinking of.
Was the last gig I saw live?
I'm thinking that I played a gig, that gig that Quirky got up and did Pantera with us.
Oh,
and
right.
And it was like the night after Ginger played.
Holy shit.
So like Quirky was like, where was she? You know, like. But yeah. That's so funny. So I was like, yeah, getting confused.
Did somebody film that?
Of Quirky playing?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure. But he smashed it though.
Yeah, he would have.
Yeah, he had a blast.
Mm.
It was good getting him back up there to do all that sort of stuff.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm not sure when we're getting... Because we had a tour. I had a couple of like coversy kind of things. So like, you know, like one of those Michael Bublé kind of gigs.
Yeah.
Which, you know, they pay, you know, I was kind of more spewing about the money. Because I had a Mirrors tour booked. But yeah, it was like down to, you know, like 500 people. They were like starting to limit the rooms.
Fuck that.
And then it was just like, I don't think tour's going to make it. And then that got shut down. But we're writing this album at the moment.
Mm.
So, yeah. So we're kind of more focused on that. So I think.
Are they sent? Wait, I want to know how they send you the music.
Yeah, that's
guitars with click. Or do they have like something there that's got maybe a snare and a bass drum so you know what's going on, but you can do all the other shit?
He tries to, and like he does a pretty good job with because you know, he wants to have like drums there that he can sort of record to, and he is someone who's very much like has like a bit of a complete picture in mind. But I'm definitely not like, because you know, there'll be parts where it's like the bass drum part just never repeats, and it's just, you know, just goes all the way through, and it's like, well, I'm not doing that. You know, and
that might be the guitar side coming out.
Yeah, but at the same time, he says,
wait, is he a guitar player?
Yeah, he's a guitar player.
Okay, cool.
But he said, like, he's like, because, you know, I've been playing with him for long enough that he tries to write them how I would sort of play them, so adding in more ghost notes and all that sort of stuff. But
nice.
I've more or less got like free reign. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, this is the guitar part, but it's also the song as well. Like, this guitar part only works with this, and And I've gotten used to that as well. I used to do like the click only thing where it's like I wanted to build all my parts from scratch.
Right, yeah.
And that can, I can get a bit grueling at times.
Yeah.
Like that whole Hadlemore thing where like I'll just completely compose like just this insane thing from start to finish and then learn that thing note for note. It's like, I don't know. I'm not as like technically, you know, out of my mind as I was back then. Now I'm like...
Were those parts you couldn't play...
Beforehand, yeah.
Like, to where you were like, fuck.
I have to go away and practice and build my speed and just drill and drill and drill and drill.
Okay.
And all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
It was like back, you know, when I was like using iTunes for everything.
Yeah.
And I had like an iPod that synced up with it. So, yeah. It would like, the files that had like, the sound files that had like the click on it.
Mm.
You know, it was like 500 plays or something from like, you know, just running over and over and over again. And I mean, that's gigs as well. But like, yeah. And but then you like do a tour on that.
Yeah.
And it's just like, this is killing me. So you sort of, so the next album, it's like, okay, well, as I'm writing, it's like, how long is it going to take me to learn this particular thing?
You know? Yeah. Not only that, how many albums did you do?
With Hadle?
Yeah.
Three.
But yeah, and if you're mixing, if you're doing tours where you're mixing the fucking songs.
True, there's a bit of that as well. But it's also like, yeah, you can definitely, like, when you listen to, like, say, all three, you sort of hear the drums, like, getting sparser and sparser and simpler and simpler. But that's it. But that's just, but at the same time, that's also, like, being musically minded as well.
Right.
Where it's, like, at first it was just, like, just trying to be really intense and unique with all the drum parts.
Yeah.
But then it's like you start listening to things as a whole and it's just like, you know what, just being just groovy and more simple makes the guitar, brings out the guitar parts more and makes them more sick. So there's, you know, there's that as well. It's not just like sheer laziness, but I don't know. You see it over time, like technical bands and stuff over time, like they're just, all their music gets simpler and simpler and simpler. And it's like...
And, that's good.
Yeah, but writing good songs is... such a bigger challenge.
Yeah.
I find anyway. Like I'm writing these drums for Mirrors at the moment and it's like I want to, you know, it's very straightforward, but when you're trying to be interesting as well without stepping on toes.
Yeah.
Like
it's
very vocally driven. It's one of those things where like before the guitars were like really genty.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, you just follow the kick patterns and do some cool shit.
Yeah.
But now it's less of that. Now the guitars are way more open.
Yeah.
And, you know, just more chords and yada yada. And it's very vocally driven, which actually gives the drums even more room, but you can't walk all over the vocals either.
Correct.
So you're kind of working in this really weird space. There's a band called Thornhill that I thought did a monster job of doing that because they got like this super vocally driven music. This singer is so good. The guitars are like very, like just like lots of strumming, open chords and all this kind of stuff. It's like very dense. And the drums kind of just go for it. Like just, there's like a different, like not like, like still groovy and everything, but the parts are like they change a lot, different feels. And it's not like two and four all the way or whatever. It's like, it's very impressive how it's done.
Who are these? Where are these dudes from?
They're Melbourne.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thornhill? Two words or one?
One.
Cool.
Like, yeah, they're excellent. They've kind of found their own thing.
Nice.
They used to be like very metalcore, whereas like now it's like this kind of, I don't know, very melodic, almost Jeff Buckley-esque style, but aggressive kind of vocals with these really thick, heavy guitars playing just the sickest chords and progressions and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, just with like sick drums under it. And it's like the balance that they've achieved, I find is just remarkable.
I'll listen to it on the way to Danger Town.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to pick out like how I can do Vinny on this stuff. Which is, I don't know, it's hard. He's so hard to reproduce. There is like one, some of the Vinnyisms, they're just like very, very, like, they're very subtle.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's struggle town.
Do you watch who's that guy that does like dissecting the greats? And he'll play it's on a YouTube guy and he'll play like a Vinnie lick or something.
Yeah.
And he'll be like, and then he'll play it again, or he won't play it, but he'll play the clip again, and then he will he'll dissect it, do it from a I guess musical notation point of view, and then at the end he actually plays it slow and then to speed.
Oh wow! Is that what it's called?
Dissecting. I think something like that, but yeah, it's just full drum. So I'll go there, and he does the ones where Vinny was in the studio with that one orchestra or whatever. It's like a recent clip where he's older kind of thing.
Right.
He does some of those fills. I can't remember the others, but he does everybody, this guy.
The older I get, the more insane. Like, the more I learn about Vinny, the more it's just like that level, that is too late for me. Like that's that's gone.
I listen to Tumba like almost every other day. Sometimes I'll skip over the fucking bass solo, but I love that shit so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Between that and Humpty Dumpty on that particular concert is absolutely, that is peak Vinny.
I keep asking people, do they have that on CD, or can you fucking listen to it on Spotify? Or
I don't think it's on Spotify, but I may have an audio version kicking around. But you know, there's like actually like really, like they're totally functional, like just like websites that will just rip audio from YouTube videos.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, super easy. Like I've had to do that like for some video things that I've done.
Yeah.
And yeah, like you literally just paste in the URL and then pick MP3, download.
Holy shitball. I wouldn't mind that on my phone.
It's intense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you could just do that.
Yeah.
And also, because I was having a lesson like ages ago with someone who's like also a Vinny nut. Mm. He's like Australia's Vinny Colaiuta, Andrew Gander. He's got like that same vibe going.
Well, who's he play for?
He's done like a lot of jazz and fusion stuff around Australia, but he's kind of just become this resident Australian drum god where, like, I think what's happening is his wife has like some hectic teaching position and she's just been traveling around the world. So you'll just see, he'll post a new video and he'll be in Phuket and then he'll be in, like,
holy
Bangkok.
Shit.
Like, he'll just, like, I think he was in Germany or something recently like that.
Mm.
And because of that kind of, like, instability, he's just been constantly, like not just practicing drums, but doing, like, doctorates and PhDs and...
Holy fuck.
And all this. And, like, so he did, like, this big PhD project on, like, basically himself. Like, his own playing. And it's, like, this dissection of, like, improvisation.
Yeah.
And it's, like... And it's legit. It is, like, the most... in depth, like it's stuff that makes, like, he would probably do like the Black Pages, like a warm up kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's so full on. And now he's doing like a lot of you know how like, you know, Indian people do like those tabla,
yes,
all that tabla stuff.
Yeah,
like he's transcribing that stuff by ear and like putting it on the kit.
Holy shit.
And like posting these videos of him doing these duets and stuff, and it's just... And with transcriptions underneath.
I gotta get on his YouTube channel and check it out.
You would love it, man. And when I had a lesson with him, we sort of did like 15, 20 minutes of like drum stuff and then just geeked out on Vinny the rest of the time.
Yeah.
And I was going on about like the Tokyo Blue Note thing.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yeah, you know, peak Vinny, rah, rah. And he's like, oh, have you seen like the second night? And I'm like, excuse me? He's like, yeah, there's video of the... They did two nights.
Holy shit.
At that joint.
Yeah.
And there's like, and yeah, and he happened to have it on his laptop there. And yeah, there's footage of the second night. And
so does it look exactly the same as the first night, but just like different performance, different fills,
different everything. I think,
songs?
I don't know. Like, yeah, I just had a quick look at it.
Wow.
I think Vinny was like wearing the same clothes as well.
he just put his cigarette out in a different song.
Yeah, pretty much. Or he just picked it up from the night before.
Right.
But yeah, because apparently he's like an epic bogan.
Who, Vinny?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like funny stories of him like turning up and he drives like a piece of shit car and he's like putting out his cigarettes on like the dashboard and...
Wow.
All this kind of stuff, which I love, but... Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're that good at one thing, you're probably not so great at some of the other things. however fundamental those things may be or whatever.
Yeah.
I saw him hugging on, I think it was Tal Wakenfield at a fucking, at a Sting gig.
Oh, yeah?
When Sting came to town with Simon and Garfunkel dude. Paul Simon,
yeah.
And they were doing back and forth, but Alex and I had some shitty seats.
Mm.
But, when it was Paul Simon's turn to play, yeah, he came down and I saw this big curly-haired chick. I thought it was Tal. Like, I don't know. I've never seen her. Like, I saw the back of her.
Yeah.
But the way they were hugging, it's like he'd known her for ages. So I thought it was her.
Oh, right.
Might not have been. I don't know.
Well, possibly. Because, I mean, like, they were pretty much, like, inseparable for a while. Like, they were doing, like, the same gigs.
Yeah.
Like, they did Jeff Beck and, like, her solo stuff.
Her vocals are trippy.
Oh, I've never actually heard her sing before.
Almost like a dude.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I guess she's deep.
Oh, she got, like, sort of that husky bluesy kind of thing going.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. But, yeah, she was, like, sort of... He was crazy. Like, she was, there was a period where she was just everywhere.
Yeah.
And then just kind of, and then she was playing with all the, I think she was playing with fucking Eric Clapton at one point.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Mm. And I don't know, maybe she's just now just working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows? Deal.
I don't even know, like, what you would do at that point where it's like you've reached that peak at that age. It's like, well, you know, it's like, well, you know, I mean, it's not like I'm looking for like the next big gig or anything like that, but you know, it's those kinds of things that like keep you going, like keep you working,
and yeah,
like that next, at least the idea of like sort of like, you know, the next kind of thing, and you know, if you sort of reach that peak, it's like, where do you go from there?
Yeah,
what are you working towards? You pointed out my goals thing before.
Working on? Actually, playing the guitar every day, which I haven't played for about a month. Like I'm digging COVID and hanging out and just doing fucking nothing. I'm actually...
So you're working on playing every day.
Yeah. That's my goal. Am I doing it?
But you're not.
Absolutely not.
You're not doing it.
Noob. It's hard. Alex is in the other room. She's monopolized. I'm kind of relegated only to the bedroom. And I got fucking Netflix on my laptop. Fucking, you know, The Last Stand with Michael Jordan. That was... incredible.
And are you a basketball guy?
No, I hate basketball.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I've heard it's phenomenal no matter, like, if you like basketball or not.
Yeah. Like, his mindset, and, like, my favorite guitar player is Michael Jordan, because he's just, if you apply his attitude just pretty much to anything, you'll excel. And he's like, well, you know, he wants to win a championship, and his teammate ready. He's like, well, fuck it. The way he motivated, he's just bad. Dude, he's badass. That is a tale of winning and success and just fucking incredible talent and all that shit.
I mean, that's like why I've got the Zapatat. Like, it's not just like the musical side of things. It's just, I love so much about his ethic and his drive.
Yeah.
And like, especially, I mean, this is just something that's come with time, but that whole thing about, like working, like the rewarding aspect of work, as opposed, because like I know, like, you know, Big Jimbo was just like, he would get stuck into me about like, you know, don't you want to have like fun? And I'm just like, he's like, you having fun with any of this? And I'm like, nah, not really. Like, you know, like doing band stuff.
Yeah.
But it's like all that toil and work and, you know, like it's rewarding. That's different. That's different from fun.
Yes, it is.
I mean, you can have fun, but if you know, when you're trying to like really push a band and work really hard and all that kind of stuff, it's like, it's not gonna be that fun at times.
Correct.
You know, or at least with what we were trying to do, because like I had like, I don't know, like 1 to 2 hours of practice a day on top of, you know, trying to, you know, push everything, you know, get everything pushed through.
Yeah.
But is it more just like the space in the house that keep, or is there like a motivational thing with playing every day kind of thing?
Oh, I just think I'm not as motivated. Like, we're actually gonna change our diet as well. So I've been eating differently. So I'm getting into tofu and vegetables, and so that shit's kicking in.
Yeah,
Alex is gonna be the same. And I'm not musically, I'm not motivated, but I'm just not motivated right now to play every day.
Yeah, that's fine.
Especially when fucking I can't. Well, I mean, I can, but...
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of why I like sort of did up this room, because it's like I want it to be... I mean, I have to, you know, clean up a few things, but like, yeah, I want it to be somewhere where I want to come in and do work and stuff. Like,
with this keyboard, is that... Does it have drums on it and shit?
When I had my Pro Tools rig set up, I would use that with MIDI.
Yeah.
So Pro Tools has like a really nice like grand piano sound, and you would just make it sound like it's in a cathedral and just sit there and just play like big gnarly chords and
nice,
write weird electronic stuff and
cool.
But I want to get back into that because I miss doing that.
Yeah.
But I've got my drums are in over at Anubis down the road.
So they're all there. So that's your room. They're already set up.
Yeah.
You can just go in and fucking jam out whenever you want.
Pretty much.
That's awesome.
I've got to work it out. Like, yeah, for me, it's like evenings. So, because Dave Haley is in there as well. So we split the rent on it.
Right.
And
can you both play at the same time without hearing each other?
No, it's like the same room.
Oh, right.
So two kits.
Nice. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, you got the room, you got two kits in there like facing each other.
Yeah.
And so we like it's like basically like the room's like split down the middle.
What I think I heard that his side is like he's like record ready to like track shit.
Nah.
Okay, I'm fucking tripping.
Nah, he's there is a tracking room at Anubis, so which I released a playthrough the other day.
Yep.
And that that was done there, so it's like down the hall.
Oh, okay, cool.
Over there because there's rehearsal rooms there.
Yep.
So our room is like all the way down the other end. Then there's all the rehearsal rooms. And at the other end is like this recording room.
Oh,
so
okay,
so
cool.
So we literally just pull our kit out and then just walk it down there and mic everything up and away you go. So that facility is there.
Cool.
So, but he does all of his shit in the morning anyway.
Yeah.
So I can just, you know, yeah. And I work during the day.
Cool.
So... Yeah, we never bump into each other. We just got to sometimes work out weekends, but
yeah,
it's never been a problem. And when I've been there for maybe 18 months now.
Brilliant.
So, yeah. But that's what we're trying to sort out with this house stuff is seeing if I can get a studio in there.
Yes.
Yeah. So I've been talking to like an acoustic engineer type dude
who
builds studios and stuff. And he's done like big recording studios, but also... small project studios as well.
Nice.
So, yeah, that's going to be a journey.
Fingers crossed. What about, have you thought about like a granny flat style thing out back or a fucking...
That thing doesn't really turn up on... We're probably not going to have the land for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, at the moment, we're looking at building, but...
That's right. Yeah. That's right, fuck. You told me and everything.
That's right. So like, even though I'm like, you know, losing bits of information. Like we turned up today and I'm like, wait, what are we doing again?
Yeah, well,
like,
why are we here?
Yeah. And it's because, yeah, it's changing like all the time. So,
yeah.
So today was like a situation where it's like, we could get what we want out of the house, but it's like I was kind of annoyed because like, we're sort of checking like online and stuff and like these pieces of land were literally like just disappearing like that with people snapping them up. So when the builder was like sort of trying to put pressure on us, it's like, yeah, we know he's not bullshitting because we've been seeing this land getting snapped up. So
yeah,
that kind of takes a bit of negotiating power out of it. So
yeah.
So, and I'm like all for like one day, like moving out to the country and all that shit.
Yeah.
Actually just having like, just no people at all around. But yeah, I think for the time being, you know, beggars can't be choosers.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We were thinking about, you know, doing the whole shipping container house kind of thing.
All right.
Yeah.
Were you just talking that up in general? Or
just
actually
chatting about it and how we do it and where it'd be and all that shit.
Is it doable?
I think it is. Like,
was it the tiny house?
No, fuck those tiny... No, we want the opposite of a tiny house. We want a fucking massive fucking... We want storage containers as, like, the frames. That's how they do it.
Oh,
you stack them on top of each
like
other.
Oh, multiple ones.
Yeah. Not one.
Oh, right.
Like, eight.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, eight.
Yeah.
Jesus, that'd be bigger than most
and
houses.
And the like, whatever configuration you want kind of shit. But, yeah, people do it.
Right. Is this something that, like, you've just, like, sort of seen some videos of, or are there actual websites where you can?
I think there's a couple of websites where they work with. I'll show you later, but
fuck yeah, I've got to see this.
Oh, you know, there's great ones.
Right. And what? So you just have to purchase the land and
the containers and all that shit.
So, like, I'm interested. Like, how, if you really, do you really, really want to do that?
Yeah, but I'm easy as fuck. Like, if that didn't happen and Alex is like, we're living here.
Yeah.
I'd be like, fine. Like, she wants to move into this, there's a community. There's a new set of apartments that are taking place in Camberwell where it's like a two high rises, and in between is a bridge where the pool goes.
Right.
So, and I think it might even have its own movie theater or some shit. Yeah, it's crazy as fuck. Like, I think I think it's $120,000 just for the fucking down payment or whatever.
As in buy.
Yeah.
Ooh.
But I mean, that's so fucking. I'm 51. I'm pretty open to the fact that, like, we'll just never own a house. Like, I don't give a fuck. We're renting and we're fine. And I love our area.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I know it's like a very social media thing to do, but when I see, like, you know, like what John and Alex are doing, I'm like, that's a good life. That's a great life. You know?
Yeah. We live in a fucking, you know, Alex goes to school right across the street.
Yeah.
We love it.
Yeah. And plus, like, I mean, like, is there a lot of options for, like, Alex to go into work once her course finishes?
I think.
I hope she doesn't mind us talking about this.
No, she doesn't. I don't think she does. I'm not going to tell her about this. Don't show her this. I think in order for her to get, like, a mad job, she's got to do higher education.
Yeah. Is this still the forensics thing?
I don't know. I don't know what the fuck it is anymore. It's morphed into, because now she's doing, like, cryptocurrency and fucking.
Oh, what?
Yeah, she's doing, like, dark web shit as well.
Oh, right.
But I think she wants to be a researcher. So I don't know what she wants to be. I don't think she knows what she wants to be. But I think that she needs, if she wants, like, the mad fucking job, she'll have to do more.
Yeah. And
but I think there might be a year or two before that happens. Because she needs to fucking rest.
Yeah, and if it's working at the moment, then, yeah, hey, you know.
Just do it for a couple of years.
Yeah, and it just makes you more qualified. So
yeah,
hopefully it's, you know, something that.
Not only that, she's working for the University of Perth at the moment, like interviewing homeless people and shit.
Oh,
for right. Like studies. So yeah, so she's doing that. She's still doing Kiki K, even though they've kind of. No, I think an American company has bought them out. So and she starts up to work again, I think, in maybe a week.
Right. But
they were able to get JobKeeper, so she's actually gotten paid or whatever the fuck. So we've actually done, I think, better on this COVID thing than off of it. So we're just fucking.
Yeah.
We're just squirreling everything away.
Yeah. That's sick, though. Like, I don't know where that sense of urgency sort of comes from. For, like, you know, I mean, it's different when it's like. I guess it could be different with house stuff because, like, if you wait too long, you can get, like, pushed out of the market or whatever. But I don't feel that. You know, it's just, and yeah,
it seems like a way adult thing. I don't think my pea brain can handle those types of decisions or ideas. Like, we are buying a fucking house. That makes me go, fuck, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's I'm pretty lucky that Elise has just kind of taken it, you know, with both hands and just. Dove right into it.
That's awesome.
And we're super on the same page about, like, what we're after. So I'm like, cool, too many cooks. I'll let you.
You know. Do you have a suburb picked out?
We were looking around, like, Diggers Rest sort of area, which is, like, you know, like, Sunbury.
Cool.
Which is, like, it's not too bad. It's, like, not far from, it's, you know, it's, like, half an hour to the city kind of thing.
Nice.
So it's the kind of thing that will sort of go well with age and shit.
Yep.
But, you know, the thing we're looking at today, we might not get it.
Yeah.
So that's all right. You know, we'll just.
There's a one. What happens when a door closes?
What? It increases in value.
Oh, remember my saying? When a door closes.
I can't remember. I can't remember.
When a door closes, an even bigger door closes or some shit. God comes in and fucking.
Yeah.
And even, get you good. I forgot what that was, but yeah.
I mean, we got to the place today. We were just like going in, like, we got no idea what we're doing, but, you know, let's put on a brave face. And
yeah.
Lisa had like a big notebook and all this stuff. And we walked in there and there was like this much older couple than us. We're like arguing over the width of the land. It's like, you're going to spend $7,000 on fucking extra that? And we're like, it's like, oh, okay. I guess we've, you know,
right.
I don't know why you guys haven't had this conversation beforehand.
Yeah.
So, you know, that gave us a bit of confidence.
Alex, I think I just trust Alex to just actually just go buy the fucking house and just tell me when to move in. Just say we bought a house and we're moving in on the 3rd or whatever. I'd be like, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. But that Campbell joint sounds sick. So, you know.
I'll send you, yeah, it'll be fucked up. And I'm sure it'll be expensive as all fucking fuck.
Oh, look, if it's, you know, I mean, and that's the main thing. We're not getting like a crazy house or anything. We're just going like, okay, what are we spending now? How much more can we spend each month?
How old are you now?
34.
Oh, you're still a young fucker. Are you guys having kids?
Probably not.
Nice. Yeah. Welcome to our tribe.
Yeah, that's, yeah. And
I've got no problem with people having kids.
No.
It's not for Alex or I.
It's,
and that's just where we're at.
Yeah. Because Alex is, she's the same age as me, right?
She's 38.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought we were like the same age, but yeah. Mm. But yeah, no, it is absolutely just, it's, even for the most part, no, but it's also like,
if it happened.
If I wanted to,
yeah,
I just don't know how. You can, it's just not feasible. Like,
oh yeah,
it's
right.
Just like, I don't know how. Like, you know, there's like guys at work. You know, most of the people who work there have kids,
right?
And I'm like, and they're like, yeah, I slept 3 hours last night. And,
fuck,
you know,
that,
and,
dude.
And they're eating like the stuff that they put in the kids' lunches, so they're having like, you know, fucking tiny teddies for lunch,
right?
I'm like,
no,
like,
way.
Yeah, and like, there's nothing that they're telling me that makes me go, yeah, sick. This is the move,
right?
You know,
and I just think each year we get harder and harder for people to have kids or buy houses, or I just fucking,
yeah, the planet might not even be here,
right?
You know, it's like, and you know, there's a fucking, you know, half the planet is shut down. There's like a sort of like a race war going on.
Yeah,
it's absolutely
chaos.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm like, yeah, I think I'm good.
Yeah, I'm happy to just fucking stay at home and watch also, Netflix.
And like, between all this stuff that I'm trying to do, it's like, how am I gonna, like, because if I have to like raise a kid, all my other shit is like is kind of done.
Yeah.
So that kind of just means I go to the job,
right?
And then I come home and then do, and then be dad.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's it.
Or you try to find a better job, which means more responsibility and more stress and maybe fucked up hours.
Yeah. And it's not, there's no, and thinking about like, you know, that cool drum thing that I was doing for a while.
Yeah.
Which would fucking bum me out like super hard.
Like, yeah, Nate, who his life's pretty worked out.
Yep.
Like, he was doing stand-up comedy, and and then, you know, all that fun shit will go bye-bye.
Yeah. And, like, because I follow your brother-in-law as well on Facebook and stuff.
Chris.
With Chris, yeah. And it's just sick watching his, like, you know, his pursuits and stuff. Like,
yeah.
He's really, you know, he goes, like, he's, like, he's someone who, like, I think I've met him once, maybe once or twice. We don't even really, like, know each other. But because, I mean, probably because, like, he's in your circle, and I see all the things that he's, like, he's working super hard.
He is.
And he does, like, a really good job with what he does as well.
Mm.
So he's someone who, like, whenever he turns up on my feed, I'm like, fuck yes, go! Yeah. Like, it's like, I want him to win so bad.
That's awesome.
It's like a movie I'm watching where it's, I mean, that's probably, like, you know, like, a lot of friends who are, like, on my social media, like, I'm just, like, watching the shit they're doing. And it's like every time it's just like, yes, come on. You know, I just want the story to end well.
Yeah.
But
yeah, you want the best for people.
Yeah. 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 I certainly don't want ill for anyone.
No.
Fuck that. But Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, there's
you got to do something.
You do got to do something.
It's like, I don't know, it sounds like simplistic and kind of like cynical as well, but that's what I wind up saying, where it's like I'm just like grinding so much time into doing the things that I'm doing, and it's just like, I mean, to be honest, I don't even think that hard about it. I'm just doing it. I'm doing it and I enjoy it. But sometimes you have those moments where it's just like, what am I doing?
Yeah. How many bands are you in right now?
One.
Nice.
Yeah. It's really good.
Yeah.
Just like, I mean, I'd still do like the little one-offs.
Yeah.
Which are great.
Like the Buble.
Yeah, and the covers. Yeah,
right.
That's just like, you know, like the extra cash stuff.
Yeah.
Which is super, you know.
Do you teach from Thingo as well, from Anubis?
Yeah.
Cool.
And here as well, like I do like the Skype thing.
Cool.
And now it's all only Skype as well.
Right.
But
would that be like drum pad shit?
I've got a mix of stuff. Like, I mean, I don't do any playing in my lessons anyway.
Do you just watch them and be like, okay?
Yeah. I mean, even when it's in studio as well, I don't get on the kit at all.
Holy really. Shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm just
I want to do that.
Well, I kind of think of it like when they're there, for most people, that half an hour is like it's the only drumming they do that week.
Right.
You know, like, it's very, like...
And then if you're drumming and they're watching you, you're actually taking away from them drumming.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. So it's like, you know, because most people don't really do like proper, you know, like a great deal of practice. You know, some just do it here and there. Some have even just straight up just said, it's like, this is just pretty much my half hour of the week where I'm just getting on the drums.
Like, right, you know, shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I guess, yeah, I always assume that if you're a student, you want to be a fucking rock star or some shit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, there are some people who've come in who already have like a certain amount of skills, so they'll put some time on the kit because, you know, it's a lot easier to get on and play when you've already got some shit going.
Yeah.
But in my head, it's just like, I need these people playing as much as possible, you know?
Yeah.
So I'll try and make sure that like, and also I try and make sure that like when we're learning stuff, that they're piecing it together.
Yeah.
Rather than here is this thing, do right. this thing, and then they just copy the thing and then memorize it and then move on. So I try and make sure that they actually understand what they're doing and how to do it. So it's kind of like super duper last resort stuff.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, okay, let me show you. And then hopefully that kind of like, you know, sets it off. So yeah, that's the only time.
Now, let me ask you questions about your YouTube channel.
Yeah, yeah. That's like, yeah, that's why I was getting like super proby about it.
Like, do you want that thing to go out of control mad with the subs and shit?
Or, yeah.
Okay. The only way I had to know to do that now is if you know, Alex was telling me, you got to have somebody fucking, that's got more than you that can fucking, so you can do this shit.
Yeah, you got, I forget that. It's, they call it like lateral something, I forget.
That's how Jake Paul and his brother did it. That's what they did. They ping-ponged off each other's shit.
Yeah, right. And you see like a lot of like Rogan and all his mates do it. Like they go on each other's things all the time.
Right, yeah.
And do all that kind of stuff as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely like a much more promising. Like the main reason why I haven't done it so far is because I just haven't had the ability to produce the kind of quality that I want to do.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you could sort of, it's when you've got it like just a phone, you can do something that's good enough for social media.
Right.
You know, for like for Insta and Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah.
But for YouTube, I'm like, oh shit. Like I want the productions to be better.
Yeah.
Whereas now I've got a camera that I'm really happy with and can produce like reasonable, like sound wise, reasonably good stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm getting a bit more confident with the tutorial side of things as well.
Do you write that shit out on paper and read?
The last one I did, which I was really happy with, and it went really well, relatively speaking, I sort of had, because it's like drum stuff, it's like I can just do that off the top of my head. So like that comes out. I would just have like a whiteboard that would have the specific dot points.
Yeah.
So it would just, you know, and also I got used to that whole thing of just letting the camera roll, and it's just like, yeah, I can just, it's like, oh, I can just stop. Because like the first time would be like, I would get X amount in, fuck it up, get all flustered and start again.
Right.
Whereas, like, I'm like, hang on a minute. Like, I can just...
You can just do it from this line instead of going all the way to the top.
Yeah. And just, like, and just, you know, let it out. And then... I also found that, like, if you're trying to, like, be, like, a little bit comedic with it as well, like, the actual edits can play into the comedic timing of stuff as well. So, but the next one I'm doing, I think I'm going to have to... Like, I've sort of written it out a little bit more. So that's going to be a bit more challenging.
Are you allowed to talk about that now?
Sure.
What it is?
Yeah. I mean, sure. Because, I mean, I don't think there's going to be enough people sort of listening to this who will follow that as well. But it's like, because I had this really good idea for, like, doing a thing on practicing in front of the TV.
Yeah.
So because that's something that's a bit more, like, anyone can sort of pick up. You know, at least like people practicing drums.
Yeah.
Where it's like, because, yeah, like they don't either have kits or the time or the motivation. But like guitar, like, you know, when you start off, the biggest part is just developing the strength in your hand to play chords.
Yeah.
And the flexibility and all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
And, but once you know those open chords, you, boom, you can play 500 songs.
Yeah.
Right? Like that. So one thing, like for example, with me, I binged watched The Wire over the course of 2 weeks, and I had a guitar in my hand the whole time.
Mm.
And when I got to the end of it, it was like, holy shit. It was like this, it was like the Matrix where like you just load the it kind of felt like that. It was like, I finished watching The Wire. It's like, oh, I can play, I know guitar. So
that's awesome.
So it's like, and it's the same with drums. It's like, if you just sat there and just went like, like, or whatever, just did some very specific movements while watching TV, like you can max out your playing so good. So I want to do that. Oh shit! I forgot to ask about the onesies.
I wore them in brothel, and they just took shits. They're like, they were in my fucking trunk. They're in the boot of the car, just wet.
Oh yeah.
Shit like that. So it's either they're either in the trash or they're part of like brothels. They're either part of brothels arsenal, and somebody else would wear them.
Yeah.
I don't remember what happened to them.
That's all right. It's not essential, but So, it's sort of the tutorial side, I'll just do that at Anubis, like film that side of things.
Yeah.
Like I did with the other couple of videos I've done. But I want to do like demonstration stuff, but actually like in front of the TV.
Yeah.
And it's going to be sort of just like, because I've got a tuxedo onesie. And so I'll probably be like wearing that. And I've got like some sort of like dumb but like kind of funny things in mind.
Yeah.
And it's probably why I haven't done it yet, because like it's like a little bit more like out of my comfort zone. Like
right.
Attempting funny shit.
Yeah.
It's like that's, I don't know, it's like a big call.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's, comedy's a fucking weird one.
Especially when you're actually trying.
Yeah.
It's one thing if like,
You say something funny.
Yeah, if you say, and especially if it's like understated, where like you just happen to say something that's kind of funny. If it's not funny, if it doesn't matter. But if you're trying to do something and the whole premise and thing is hinging on it actually being funny, you're kind of putting your chips on the table.
Yeah.
So
Have you watched any of the the Andrew Dice Clay show?
No, I know it is.
Fucking the best.
What is it? Just like,
it's like him and it's like him off stage and at home and living life.
All right.
It's kind of like a Curb, but with Andrew Dice Clay.
All right.
And it's got Natasha Leggero as his girlfriend.
Is it new?
It's on. I don't know if it's new, but it's on Prime.
Right.
It's fucking hilarious. Really good.
Sick.
Alex started watching it. I joined. And I was like, holy fuck. We would just be laughing our asses off. It was really, really good.
I'm not watching any funny shit at the moment.
Like Adrian all the stand on one of them, like on all one the episodes,
all the stand up shit on Netflix is not funny.
I haven't watched. I don't think any of it.
Yeah, none of it's that good. I was like, we started watching like the new season of F is for Family, which is like, have you seen that Bill Burr's cartoon?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's actually a really good show, but it's like so dark with like the family dynamic stuff that it's like, it's kind of more of like a good drama.
Holy shit.
It's like, it's got some funny stuff.
Right.
But, oh man, there'll be bits where like, they will have like power screaming domestic screaming fights at each other.
Wow.
And it's like really full on. I'm like, this isn't funny. And it's not meant to be either. Like, it's absolutely not meant to be funny in those particular moments. But Yeah, it's like super intense. So it's still a good show, but yeah.
What do you have on, like, you got Netflix here?
That's it. Yeah, okay. Netflix. We had Amazon for a bit. We got Disney Plus, though, because we're watching all The Simpsons on at the moment.
Wait, why did you stop with Amazon?
We just weren't watching it. Like, we watched, what did we have it for originally? What were we watching? The Boys?
Oh, yeah, that's fucking awesome. Yeah, I can't wait for season two.
Oh.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Yep, that was...
Loved it.
That was excellent. And I think in the process of that, we just kept paying for it. Just so we had something extra.
Right.
So, and then it got to a point where like, we're not watching this at all, so we just fucked it off. And then I think we got another free month using either my email or Elise's email so we could watch The Hunters or Hunters. That one of like the Al Pacino.
Yes. I haven't seen that yet.
Hunting Nazis and stuff.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet. I want to see that.
It's worth it.
Good.
Yeah, it's worth it. It's, you know.
I think out of all three, because we've got Netflix that we share with friends, and then they've got Stan and Prime, which they share with us.
Oh.
So we got three of them. We got three of them.
Oh, because you can do multiple devices and shit.
Yeah. So, but we watch Prime quite a bit.
Right.
That's probably my favorite one out of the three.
Although I did see now that they've got It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Who?
On Prime.
What?
Yeah, like I just didn't today.
Fucking know that.
Saw that just today.
Well, I can't tell Alex because she'll want to watch them all.
Yeah.
I wonder how high they go up in the seasons.
I don't know, but like I just happened to see, and they must have only just done it because I only just saw the ad for it like on my phone yesterday.
Oh my god, I'm missing like the last three or four seasons of Sunny that I haven't fucking seen yet.
It's so good.
I fucking love that show.
And the what was the other one? Wait. Yeah, no, that's it. Like, so we're doing Prime. We fucked that off. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we've got Disney Plus. Elisa grabbed that. Because like,
how's that with the Star Wars shit? Have you watched any of that?
I haven't watched any Star Wars shit. Like, good. I can't remember why Elisa got it. I think she was just trying it out and then decided to keep it.
Nice.
But then it's like they've got all the Simpsons on there.
Wow.
So we're just like,
how many fucking seasons is that?
It's like 30.
That's insanity.
But it's like, I don't know if you've ever followed The Simpsons recently, because like it's the worst. Like they've just become
like jumped the shark.
Oh, terrible.
Like, no, I haven't watched any new Simpsons.
Yeah. So what we're doing is like we started from the start and it's still phenomenal. Like if you watch anything from season two, like it's still hilarious. It's so ahead of its time. But there's that one episode where in like season nine or something, where like people have decided that's the moment when The Simpsons started going downhill. It's like they've pinpointed this one
particular episode
and they go, this is the moment where, like, people have done like massive like dissertations
right,
on this stuff.
Yeah.
And
oh, I love those.
They're like, this is the moment where The Simpsons started going downhill. And they sort of map it out with like ratings, reviews and all this stuff. And they can plot it as the writing staff changed as well. So it's like as the drop-off is occurring, it's like, and this is when this guy left, and this is when this guy left,
fuck,
yada, 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 yada. And like, and this is how things changed and all this sort of stuff. So I don't know like how much you've sort of watched in the past, but there's like that one episode where Principal Skinner turns out to like be an imposter and like the real Principal Skinner turns up. And like...
Surely I have. I've seen them. I think I felt like I've seen them all except like the uber new shit.
Yeah, yeah. And like, because probably like a lot of people just started dropping off because the new stuff just got...
Wasn't Kona writing for them?
Yeah.
Is that one? I wonder if that was one of the ones where...
He was in the first... No, he was like really early.
Oh, really?
And which is interesting because like when Conan was writing was like some of the funniest shit.
Yeah.
Like the season two... Basically, all the single-digit stuff was when Conan was writing.
Holy shit.
And, so that episode... Because basically what that meant was that you had this character, Principal Skinner, who, like, they'd built over all these years, and then they just flushed him down the fucking toilet because they decided, like, that's actually not his real name. He's a fake. Da-da-da-da-da. And here's the real Principal Skinner, who was, like, some completely different dude.
Why would they do that?
See, I don't know. Like, he's running out of ideas.
Fuck me.
And like, and at the end of the episode, they take like the real Skinner and strap him to a train and then just like, you know, send him away.
And then they go,
and if anyone talks about this, they'll be tortured to death. And so they basically do this really stupid way of like wrapping up the episode, but still moving on as if nothing ever happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so bad.
Yeah, that's, yeah. So a lot of people have agreed, academics,
yeah,
have agreed that this is the moment when it started going to shit.
Yeah.
And then do.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Oh, well, these things happen.
I get into that.
Alarm
as well,
circles in, out Friday, the 19th of June. Midnight, be there.
Hey, like, now that that's like about to drop,
yeah,
does that sort of make you go, I need another thing to work on?
No, because it always goes back to like my YouTube channel.
Yeah, that's so always like, there.
Yeah.
I think that's why I needed like the YouTube channel as well, because like now that like, because no matter what's going on, that always needs work.
Oh, yeah, and it's never ending. Like, people do it consistently, like, 3 videos a week or whatever it is.
Yeah,
I mean...
That's
fucking hard, man.
I mean, for the ones that, like, are doing it full-time, sure.
Yeah.
It makes sense. But there's, like, stuff that, like, someone hit me up because I put out a video I did for Pearl.
Yeah.
And there's someone who does, like, they do a lot of YouTube stuff. And they're like, oh, you know, I'd love to, you know, help you out, and give you some good advice. And yeah, it was like, because, you know, we're talking about, like, say you were saying about, like, the Van Halen videos and all that sort of shit.
Right.
Where it's like, I don't think I wanted, you know, at least feel like you have to do it.
Yeah.
Because the one I did recently, like, you know, I came up with a bit of a logo for myself kind of thing, you know, yep, like an RB kind of thing.
Saw that.
Like a little branding thing. I didn't want to do that. Like,
no,
you know,
of course not.
But it's like, that was one thing where, like, everyone, you know, it's like, yeah, everyone does it. It's like, that's sort of like a key branding kind of thing. And I'm like, well, all right. Like, it's like, all right, I'll do that thing. You know, like, anything that's, you know, because that's one thing, like, say, with your stuff, because you swear a lot, like, the big,
yeah,
you know, big personality kind, yep, of thing. And I've heard, like, YouTube is going to go super hard on demonetizing stuff with like too much swearing in it.
Yep.
And like, yeah, how are you?
I'll stop swearing.
Yeah.
I don't, swearing is neither here nor there. I mean, obviously it's part of the way I talk, but like, I was always good at reining that shit in when you meet a parent or that kind of thing.
Yeah,
so,
exactly right. You can turn it on or off.
Yeah. I prefer to have it wide fucking open, but I'll turn it off. That doesn't bother me. It's not what my whole thing is anyways.
Yeah, and that's why I'm kind of like keeping like my podcast stuff separate from basically everything. So I'm not like hiding it, pretending it doesn't exist, but I'm not putting it on my YouTube.
Right.
Like, you know, like I'm like trying to do like teaching stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm having, you know, chats with, you know, really explicit chats with Jimbo about, you know, how the world's burning down. And
oh, yeah.
You know,
I listened to a little bit of that today. I was like, holy shit. Let's not bring up politics in Brenz's room.
I'm happy to talk about anything. There was one, like, one time Jimbo was over. He was over for like 3 hours. And
you tell him you ran out of tape?
Like, basically,
it's like, dude, you fucking,
this thing's out of tape. I'm sorry, smoking. Man.
It was fucking smoking.
It was like a three hour, wasn't really a conversation, but he was definitely talking, and
he was talking at you.
Well, to be fair, like, he knows this because the conversation, the podcast that came out was only an hour long, so.
Well, yeah, when it got wild, yeah.
Well, it was because, like, I think at that point, because, like, you know, he does, like, all his, like, his window cleaning and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and he's got, like, his daughter.
Yep.
And all that sort of stuff. And he's just, I don't know many people who work harder than Jimbo. Like, he's just flat out and just grinds himself to the bone.
Yeah.
So, and I think when he came over to do the podcast, and it was just like, it's like
a debrief.
Yeah, it's like, hey, when you're free, I'm like, yeah, come on. And yeah, just like off he went. And it was sick. Like, he is a human encyclopedia. He is amazing.
Nice.
With just the stuff that he comes out. But I'm just like, I'm not sure. Like, I'm happy to put anything out, but I don't know anyone is going to listen to about how countries are formed for 2 hours.
Wow.
So it's like, I was enthralled, but the whole time I'm looking at the thing and it's like, 2 hours gone, and I'm just like, I don't know what to do. I can't release this.
And now you have to.
Well, what happened was is that we got to a point where like it's actually I'll have to show you. It's really funny because it's like the one that came out was like it went for an hour and it was actually a really, really good conversation about music and music industry and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And just our experiences and rah, 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 all sorts of shit. Really good conversation. But you can hear at the start, I'm about to wrap it up. Where it's like, he sort of, it comes in with like the end of one of his sentences. And then you sort of hear me go, well, yeah. and then he asks me a question about something music related. And then I'm like, oh, okay. But then actually turned into like a really good convo.
Nice.
But yeah, at the very start of it, you can hear me go to wrap it up. And, but then, yeah, it actually turned into something sick. So yeah, before that point was just like, formations of countries and where surnames come from.
Oh,
like,
fuck. That's what Google's for, man.
It was sick for me because like my mind was just getting blown the whole time. But, yeah. But you know, I've got an audience.
Does Jimbo live around here?
No, he's not too far away, but just with his job, like he's everywhere. So.
Oh, right.
And in
fact,
I've even like seen him a couple of times. Like I've pulled up next to him at the lights like a few times. Like I just wind down the
window
and start screaming at him. It's awesome. Because it's just been his own world, you know.
That's great.
So, and I've had like Jimbo on like twice.
Yeah.
So far, you know, it's a blast.
That's good.
Because he's got opinions.
Yes,
a lot
he
of opinions. And he's just so dry. That it just amuses me to no end.
That's
so
good.
And he's actually messaged me a couple of days ago.
He's ready for another.
Yeah. Well, I actually had him booked in to come in to do one.
Yeah.
And then coronavirus. Like,
fuck.
Like, I think a couple of cases had just sprung up in Melbourne and they hadn't done any restrictions yet.
Yeah.
But I was already very wary of it. And I'm just kind of like, I don't think we should be doing this just yet. And then I think on the day that we were going to do it, they started laying down all the restrictions. So I'm like, oh, you know. But I'm so keen to get him back in.
Cool.
So,
and encourage him to get his own YouTube channel.
I do.
Oh, okay, good.
I reckon like it's really funny because like he wants to come in and do these, but thinks he's not good enough to do his own thing. He's like, no one's interested. And I'm just like, well, I'm interested in you coming in here and doing this stuff.
Don't worry about whether it's, fuck, dude. There's more bands than there are people on the planet. There's more podcasts than there are bands. So just fucking do it.
Yeah. And, you know, you get better at it. I mean, even with me doing the YouTube thing and wanting to push, push it. But it's like, prepping drum stuff for these things takes the kind of work that it keeps you sharp, forces you to be better at like what you're doing and everything.
Mm.
So once it's say released or when it's completed, I'm like, cool, job's done.
Do you do more than one at a filming?
No, I don't have the energy for that. It kills me. Like,
yeah.
Because I'd love to do that one day. But like with that playthrough I did, that's like one take. There's no edits, there's no sample replacing, there's no nothing.
Nice.
So
but that means it'd be done fucking,
oh, it took like 10 goes.
Oh, okay.
Like, and also like leading up to that, the amount of work that, you know, it's not like I sort of like whipped it up. It was like I was planning on doing that particular song.
Yeah.
So I've been working on that for months, like trying to get it really tight, really nice.
Cool.
And then it just sort of sheer opportunity turned up that like Mick Summerton was like, hey, do you want to do some recording? You know, rah, rah. Do you want me to come over to Anubis? We'll get set up. So we're doing a bunch of different stuff. And then I'm just like, hey, let's give this song a try. I wasn't even planning on doing it. And it's like, you know, I could probably get this down in X amount of takes.
Nice.
So because the setup is so grueling, if I had like a full setup, like where I could just hit record and go, that would be a different story.
But yeah.
It's, I'm always working on new stuff to record because it's
definitely never ending.
It's too brutal. Like drum wise, once you put mics on everything, just everything everything that's wrong with what you're doing is just on display.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm constantly working on new stuff, but yeah, I mean, I'd love to do just like a whole bunch at once and then just like, just drip feed them and then like,
yeah,
and then like take a month off drums.
Yeah. I do that with the guitar ones. I'll do a bunch, you know, 6, 8, depending, yeah. But you know, I'll whittle them down to 3-minute clips.
But, you don't just play throughs though, do you?
No, I've done one and I'm not happy with it. And then I know that I'll post it regardless, not be happy with it, say that I'll redo it, and then just never redo it.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah.
Is the one you're talking about an alarm one?
Yep.
Ooh, so that's like you're playing in it. It's not like a mime. Is it a
mime? No, we're not going to do that. We're playing, like, Palf does one, and he's yelling the vocals. And,
oh!
Yeah, and we're just playing, and we just hit play on the fucking, so it's the actual track in the background, and we're just playing over the top of it.
Oh, sick.
Yeah.
Are you like running? So it's like
there's no Pro Tools. It's just the mic on my camera.
Oh, okay.
So it's just, we're just a little bit louder than the mix, but it comes out sounding fine.
Yeah, sick.
Like everything I do, I want to do live. I don't want to fucking pretend and all that shit. I'm pretty against that.
Yeah. I mean, I was like super lucky that Mick wanted to do some shit.
Nice.
Because, you know, being a live engineer, like he's got, you know, there's not a lot going on at the moment.
No.
So, and he sort of wants to sort of, you know, build his recording side of things.
Is he still living in the city, or is he out in Montmorency or something?
He's down in Hurstbridge.
Oh, okay. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
So that was, yeah. So I was very fortunate to have someone who was like super competent with, that side of things.
Yeah.
To actually take what I'm doing and not fucking sample or replace it, not do any of that shit, but actually really, you know, try and make it sound like a natural performance.
Cool.
Because like for my smaller things, like I still do, like I do my own stuff, but it's not the greatest because I'm just using like this unit here. So, and it's just like two overheads and kick and snare.
That should be enough though.
Yeah, but you could do more.
You could. I just figure whoever's got the mad setups that like they just turn on a fucking light, hit a fucking power strip and they're ready to rock.
Yeah. Pretty much. So I'd like to get to that eventually, but...
Same.
Yeah. It's fucking, you know, money.
Everything fucking boils down to fucking money.
Well, also, like, you stop being a musician as well because you have to be an engineer as well all of a sudden.
Yeah, and you got to be a fucking videographer and all that shit.
It's intense. Like, it is. It's like I'm sitting there YouTubing. It's like I'm losing time on... I don't mind going down like an editing rabbit hole where you're just like, you know, learning about like, you know, how to do video stuff. It can be fun, but it's like it's time that you spent that you're not playing or doing stuff that you really care about. So, you know, like it's interesting, but it's like I think given the option, I wouldn't be learning about what aperture is and, you know, grading.
That's why I have like the bare bones setup because I'm not going to fucking... I'm not going to do any of that shit.
But like, but people are responding to what you're doing. Like there's like so many channels out there that like have like just raw, honest production and people just responding to what's on there.
Yeah. And because it's more about the content.
And if it gets like too like polished and commercial looking, I don't think you get taken as seriously.
Yeah.
You know, cause
I get that.
Especially when it's like, you know, like it's not just you playing guitar, but it's you on your life.
Yeah.
And I think if you had like a theme and it was like super high production, it would start to look more like a TV show than...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually did make an intro and an outro.
Oh, you did?
I did. Just for fun.
Sick.
I've put them on a few. I haven't put them on all of them, but yeah.
But that's the one that's like got...
It's got the flat stick music and it's just got like different...
But that's got like... Like the old video footage of you playing and stuff as well.
Yeah, with like long hair and shit. Yeah,
nah, that stuff was cool though.
Yeah, I put that in as just a bit of fun.
Yeah, I meant like the sort of the more high production side.
Right.
Of things. Yeah.
Although I'm going to do a couple things with my channel. There's this fucking thing that where you can like upgrade your YouTube shit that has like all the mad tags in it. You got to pay for that, but you type in a tag and it comes up with like 100. And of the top ones, and you just fucking pick the ones you want.
Oh, what? Yeah. So
I think it's like YouTube on steroids. I think it might be, I don't know what it is, but There's a free version, which I have, but there's a one where you pay for it and you get the fuck on all the mad shit.
Wait, so it's, so when you're like adding the tags to your videos, it actually goes, hey, here's, we got the good stuff. They give you the,
they give you the top tags.
So instead of you just like mindlessly trying to work out what people are going to search for, they go, here, this is.
And they tell you how to fucking title your video to get the most amount of fucking, they do all that shit. It does all that shit.
All right. Well, that's the good stuff.
Yeah. So I'm going to work on that. And I'm also going to work, I think I'm going to pay my brother-in-law's friend, because he's a like a, he's like a web dude or whatever, to like pimp out my fucking page. To like have all the fucking, you know, because you can, custom do all
like
that
the
shit.
Banners and stuff. Yeah.
I might get that done. I'm still going to get my fucking shirt done as well with the all the hands doing the middle fingers all the way around and sell that as a black metal shirt. Yeah. And I think it's going to be, I think I'm going to put down at the bottom, Namaste Metal. But that'll happen.
What's the free version you're saying? Like of that YouTube
thing? I'll find it out and I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
It's like a Chrome add-on or some shit.
Oh.
Something like that. Because at one stage I didn't have it. And my brother-in-law goes, here, go here and get this. And I did it. And instead of 100 tags, I only get like 5 or 6.
Oh, wow.
But that's all. But I mean, I'll find out all the prices and shit and send all that shit your way.
Yeah, definitely. Hook us up. Try and get some more hits coming in.
Yeah.
Oh, how long are we going for? Oh, wow. It's been like an hour and a half.
Well, let's pull the plug.
Yeah, fuck it. Cause what, are you going to go visit Luke?
Yeah, do that right now.
Sick.
Any last words?
What
are you listening to music-wise? What's in your... the top 5 albums you listen to right now?
All
right,
let's have a look. I've been really slack lately. I've been listening to lots of old shit. I've been back on the Radiohead binge.
Nice.
And yeah, you got the shirt.
It's not Radiohead.
What? Oh, what?
what's the problem with this shirt?
Oh no, it says Radiohead on it.
Yeah, but what's this?
Oh, it's Motorhead.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a Radiohead Motorhead shirt.
Yeah. I got another one with Rage Against the Machine, but it's Rage About a Machine. And it says, fuck you, I won't do what you ask me. dude. I'm gonna get more of those shirts next Christmas.
I listened to an old Rolling Stones album the other day.
Why?
It was terrible.
Fuck yeah, it was.
I was like...
I feel that way about every single Rolling Stones album.
Oh, really?
Yeah, every single one of them.
Yeah, this was... I mean, granted, this is a really old one, like 1966, but...
Yeah.
I'm like the first track is like Paint It Black, and then after a while, I'm like, yeah, this is just kind of shit. Maybe back then it was like blowing everyone's minds, but yeah, it was like pretty shit.
What do you think of Sebastian Lanzer?
I have no idea who that is.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the second fucking... That's the guy that took over Obscura after... what's his name left?
Oh, okay, right. So, I'm guessing... Hang on.
I think that's his name. Sebastian Lanzer?
Yeah. Oh, he's probably got like some sort of... European sort of spelling. Lanzer... Oh, you're going to talk me up. But
I will.
I don't know. I try and like listen to something I haven't listened to before, like every day.
Yeah, fuck. Yeah.
That's which is sometimes I have to like force myself, but yeah. I'll tell you what, Alex has got like a great track record with me.
Yeah.
With like the shit she's recommended.
Yeah.
Oh man. So like she has not
doing the Genesis shit.
Oh, the Genesis stuff. What was that other one?
XTC?
XTC, yep. I was trying to remember. Like, Peter Gabriel, like, Prince. She definitely helped me out with the Prince thing because I was, like, never fully sold on Prince.
Right.
Been a bit slack otherwise. Like, you know, yeah, there's plenty of stuff going through, but nothing that's, like, making me go, oh, my God, this is the shit.
Have you heard of the Melbourne Scott Orchestra?
No.
I
heard of them, but yeah.
Yeah, we went and saw them on New Year's Eve, and I think I could do that for the rest of my life.
Oh, wow.
But one of the sax players is this chick, and she's in a band called Firetail, and they played some shit on the radio the other day, and they're fucking great. So I'll send you some shit of theirs.
Please.
Oh, my God. I was like, what the... It's like a little bit Zappa, a little bit funk.
Mm.
Yeah, it was fucking fantastic.
Yeah. I'm always keen for like recommendations and all sorts of new shit. But yeah, it's I'm still reverting back to like, yeah, like I said, listening
old
to
shit,
old shit.
Yeah,
but yeah, I'll trade you with a few things. Yeah, thanks for coming, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's all good. I'm glad to get out of the house, give Alex a bit of room to fucking study without me laughing at whatever's going on Netflix in the other room.
Yeah, but yeah. Thanks.
All right. Let's goodbye, people.
Bye.
Thanks again for listening, everyone. One last reminder, if you like what you've heard and find it useful, you can support by liking, following, leaving reviews, subscribing, sharing on social media, etc. I've also got a Patreon page where if you happen to feel like it, you can donate just $1 a month, which helps keep the cost down of this podcast, which is www.patreon.com/robbrenz. And you can also go to my website, www.rob-brenz.com. If you just want to get in touch or suss out some more info, there's more content there. And you can subscribe to my newsletter, which contains additional content, as well as my Lunchtime Lick series for all the drummers out there. See you next time.